Welcome, everyone. This is Dr. Mike Reed from Chiropractic Masters, and I want to welcome everyone to tonight's Power Talk. Tonight, I really wanted to finish up what we didn't really get to at Revolution, our amazing seminar in Toronto, and that's our day one procedures, day one, day two procedures, really how to blow the lid off of your practice with what I call impeccable day one and day two procedures. Now, the reason why I wanted to take this time together is because I often get a lot of doctors say to me, Mike, I got a great practice, I'm attracting lots of new ones, but I'm blowing them out the door. Now, I have a research background, and I love to take every little variable in my practice. I like to analyze it. I like to tweak it. I like to improve it. I like to add new things in and take things out. And I think I can honestly say, after 20 years of being in this game, I've really got it down. So what I want to do tonight is really share with you. I want you to get into my headspace and walk you through all the little procedural steps that I use in my day one, day two, that really bring my patients to predictably say yes. And what I mean by that is you should never, ever have to sell chiropractic. What you want to do is you want to get to the point where your patients are actually buying chiropractic. They're sitting down with you and they're looking at you and saying, you know, Dr. Mike, how much do I have to pay? And that happened with the lady today. I was thinking about these procedures when I was training before a seminar, and I walked through diligently with every procedure, and she sat down with me, and she said, I think I want to do it one time. And that's how simple it is. And I went, hoorah. I said, yeah, my procedures are working. And it's really interesting, because if I see little glitches where maybe people aren't coming to the doctor's report or people aren't saying yes, I can honestly go back in all of my procedures and find one or two things that I need to tweak. It might be an exam doctor or a checkout CA. But there's always that one or two little things. So here's what I want you to do with me tonight. I'm going to talk for the next 30 or 40 minutes. I want you guys to take little notes, mental notes or written notes on all of these key elements that I think you're going to discover are going to make the world a difference. And as we walk through these, every little step, step by step, I want you to put these into play tomorrow. And call me a liar, tell me these don't work, or you send me an email, but I'll guarantee that if you follow these, you're really going to blow the lid off your new patient to coming right to the financial report, even referral. And then I'm going to share with you a little secret that you really want to master to improve your patient visit average. If it's too low, how do we double it? So I want you to start with rapport. And now I keep coming back to this manager we had, and she was with me such a short time. She was just amazing. I had her maybe 6 months. She got offered a job that paid twice as much, and I can understand why she left. But she was just the best. She would sit there with patients, and she would schmooze. I mean, she'd literally sit there after the doctor's report or on the checkout and put their arm around them. She would talk and listen to them. She was amazing. And when people came back, they're going, I like this place. They come back to the financial report. They were already sold. And I found that just going through the steps was just another task. But the epiphany from all that was, how do you develop rapport? And I started reading a lot of books on customer service and discovered that patients really buy four things. First, they buy you. Always remember that. You know, you heard me speak about that seminar. If you missed it, just write this down. Big Y-O-U. They buy you. And you know what? If they're not bonding to you, if they're not since buying you or liking you, you're in deep trouble, a whole boatload of trouble. So one thing we have to do is we got to just smooth with them. Don't talk about yourself. The worst thing you can do is how great you are and how many diplomas you have and how many letters after your name. Forget that stuff. They want to know the real you. They want to know you're a human being. They want to feel that, hey, you know what, that you're a great person they can talk to. And you want eye-to-eye contact. You want knee-to-knee contact. Don't put anything in between. You want to even use a little bit of neuro-linguistic programming. You know, these are little ladies that get in there, and they talk with a really soft voice. You want to maybe lower your voice. Or you get the truckers that get in there, and they're talking with that gruff voice. Well, you get in there, and you go, hey, Billy Joe Bob, how you doing, buddy? And, you know, I will do that. I will mimic what I have in there, and not to that extent, but I think you get the idea. And, you know, if you got people that are really slow, well, don't talk fast like me, or you're gonna lose them, because it's not going to register in those cerebral neurons. Talk slow in cases like that. So, and the other thing, you want to smile. Don't hesitate to be the real you. Just go in there warm and friendly and give them the warm fuzzies. That's really what's most important. So remember, they're also going to buy emotion. They're going to buy the benefits, what's in it for them, right? You know, the radio station, what's in it for me, WIFM, what's in it for me, or what's in it for them, and they're going to buy the big idea. So every time I'm going through all these steps, I'm always remembering those four key ingredients. You, the emotion, the benefits, and the big idea. And just remember, that's like the gourmet chocolate chip cookies. We're going to take those four elements, put it together, and we're going to develop gourmet chocolate chip rapport. And that's really what we want. We want something that we can hang our hat on and say, yeah, I had good rapport with that patient. And you know why this is so important? Years ago, when I was just pumping through like 70, 80, 100 new ones, man, I couldn't remember names. It was just so fast, so blurry. And you know, so what if only 50% stayed and blew 50 out the door? Well, that's not what you want. Not today's market. You want every person to count. So take your time. Charge a little bit more on your fees. You know what? And they're going to pay whatever amount. The other thing I want you to do is I want you to get in the habit of leading your patients versus reading your patients. And I touched base on that. That was an epiphany for a lot of you. A lot of you said, hey, Mike, that makes sense. Lead versus read. And what I mean by that, this can really stem from our poverty complex. And let's just face it, guys. We as chiropractors, in many cases, not everybody, but coming out of a college that you know doesn't pay you for your time there, coming out of you know maybe an associateship or independent contractor with a poverty-minded chiropractor that's too expensive or too much money, one of the things you want to do is you want to get in the habit of understanding fee for services. And a $3,000 or $4,000 program is nothing. If you're charging $2,500. Yeah, that's okay, but that's the lower end. I want you to get in the habit of leading your patients. And, you know, we're going to talk about how I pre-frame this down the road and why this is so important. But that patient comes in. I don't care if she's 85 years old. And believe me, you don't have to give a senior rate because a lot of the seniors have the money. If they look like and dress like a bum, I've gone into a car dealership with ripped jeans and a T-shirt before and, you know, ratty shoes. And, you know, until my son, you know, told the dealer I was a doctor, man, that just kind of blew my cover. But the idea is, remember, you don't know what people have in their bank account. You don't know what they have beyond the walls of your practice. So always just lead your patients. It doesn't matter who they are, what job they have, always give them your best recommendations. Remember, your recommendations are based on what they need and not what you think they're going to accept. Remember that. Based on what they need and not what you think they're going to accept. So, you know, I talk about my good friend Collard, and I remember he told me about this story because we were talking about the subject one night, and I was literally laughing my ass off. I was on the floor when he told me this, and he said he had this hillbilly that came down from Calabogie, just outside of Ottawa. He was this big guy. He had to be about 6'6", about probably 300 pounds. He was as dirty could be, and he smelled, and the guy sat down. And he, Collard was thinking, his educated mind is thinking, this guy is not going to pay for care. There's no way. And sure enough, he had that little voice in his head. He says, Mike, I remember what you're saying. Lead the patient. Don't read them. And he was reading this patient as poor, uneducated, the guy couldn't handle it. And he said, just lead the patient. So he sat down and he said, you're going to need all this care, and you're going to need to basically get adjusted, you know, for a whole year of corrective care. What was really interesting is that this guy accepted the recommendations, and he literally rolled out a wallet, a big wad of $100 bills, laid it down right in front of Collard for around $3,000. And it was so funny because Collard called me that night, and he said, Mike, he paid me cash. What should I do? So it's kind of a funny story. But the more of that story is you want to lead your patients versus read them. Write that down. That's a million-dollar lesson because a lot of us tend to maybe reduce frequency of care or recommended number of visits or even the financials. You think everybody's poor, so you should give a deal. Forget it. Nobody's giving you a deal out there. Remember, you value what you're worth. If you're worth $3,000 or $4,000 in corrective care, or if you're doing a short-term program, make sure you're getting your fair exchange. Just remember, you are in a business. You are in a chiropractic healthcare business. Treat it as such. Now, this brings me to the next step. Let's say you've got your patient in that room, and here's something that a lot of doctors miss. And I'm going to really stress this and why this is important. It's called a pre-qualifying script. What I mean by that is you really want to qualify the patient. Now, years ago, we weren't using this. We implemented this. It worked well. We dropped it. We saw the end effect. We put it back in. It made a difference. And you're going to know by two things. Number one, the number of people coming back to your doctor's report on day two. And you're also going to know by the number of people getting on care. So I'm going to suggest that what you do on day one is directly reflecting the outcome measurement on day two. So keep that in mind. So the pre-qualifying script is designed for those people who come from external sources. It might be direct mail piece or screening. And these are people that you want to qualify or pre-qualify. So when that patient comes in, he's got migraines and neck pain. I'll say, John, I see from your entrance form that you're suffering from neck pain and headaches and migraines. Before we get started, I want you to know that I'm absorbing the majority of the cost in today's examination. You're coming in for only exam of 67, and I'm happy to do so. But what I do want to know is if we do find something that does require chiropractic, is your health enough of a concern to consider listening to my recommendations? Why I want to do that is I want to find out if this guy's a tire kicker or if he's just serious about his problem. Now, you're going to get most people who say, well, yeah, of course, that's why I'm here. But you do get the odd person that says, well, I was just checking out chiropractic. It's really not that bad. I saw your people at the screening. I just wanted to come and see what it's all about. Now, this is where I'm going to turn up the heat. When I get an objection like that, I know this guy might be wasting my time, but I never kick people out. The only time I remove people from the exam room is if they refuse x-rays. And I will not accept a case unless I have x-rays. And I'll tell you why in a second, but this is really bizarre. But most important is we do the pre-qualifying script. And that means I got to turn up the heat. I also want to find out his primary value, his trigger, the number one reason why he wants to come back or why what's going to cause him to come back that we often miss. And remember that. Write this down as a primary value or the trigger. So I'll ask him, hey, listen, I notice you suffer from headaches and migraines, but if we could find the cause of that, make you feel good again, and get you back on the road to good health, would you consider listening to my recommendations? And he's going to say yes. What I want to do is also not only tell him there's hope, but find out what's the one thing that you'd like to get back to that you're currently not doing because of your health problem. And he might say, well, you know, I can't run because my headaches get worse. Or I can't concentrate, and I'm just taking all these meds. Well, what if we can get rid of your health problem, get rid of the headaches and migraines, and get you back on the road to good health so you could focus and, you know, you could run? Would that make a difference too? Well, yeah, absolutely. I'd die to have that. So you want to really link their problem with a lifestyle issue, something that's holding them back. There's always something, and then that's going to help maximize the effect of your examination. So that's a pre-qualifying. The pre-consultation script is different, and that is given to everybody. And that pre-consultation script is so key because now you're going to set the pace of what's happening and what you're looking for. If you just walk in there and you start to examine a patient, I'm going to guarantee you've already knocked yourself down a few notches on a pole. You basically want to explain to them exactly what you're looking for, why it's devastating to their health, and what we're going to do during the examination. So it sounds something like this. Hey, John, welcome to this practice. I've noticed from your entrance form that you're suffering from migraines. Rest assured, I see a lot of conditions like this, and we do get phenomenal results. But the purpose of this exam is to look for the underlying cause of your problem. And we know from research that an optimal spine equals optimal health, so we should have normal curves in it. But the majority of people suffer from a devastating condition called a subluxation. And that has detrimental effects on the nervous system and can lead to years of unwanted health problems. Now, these could have started from the trauma you had, you know, in your car, to sport injuries, to work injuries, even to the birth process. And one of the reasons why we check entire family members for the detection and record of subluxation. What we're going to do today is I'm going to palpate your spine, and I'm going to feel for areas of subluxation that are affecting your nervous system. Dr. Lee, my assistant, is going to take a brief history, a scan on the subluxation station, which by way of thermography and EMG is going to show us areas of nerve interference. And we're going to take three pictures as a safety precaution. I do want to rule out fractures, tumors, infections, and congenital blocks. And that's going to give me a blueprint of your spine, show me how to correct it back towards wellness. Now, if you listen to that script, you would have heard a lot of key words. Correcting you back towards a state of wellness, a blueprint of your spine. These are key words that I throw into my pre-consultation in order to make sure I get the maximal understanding and impact. I'm planting seeds, aren't I? I'm talking about chronicity as well. So, where do we go from there? Well, when you are now examining them, examining your patient, and we always do the exam first versus history, we do it opposite of what medicine does, because I want to show them cause is leading to effect, that the cause, the subluxation, is leading to the effect, which is their body signals. So I'm always going to preframe subluxation as the cause to everything. And what I mean by that is when I'm going to start palpating, I'm going to start palpating their spine. And if I'm at T1, T2, I'll say, well, you know what? It looks like we have areas of subluxation here. These can affect the nerve supply to your heart. Do you suffer from blood pressure problems? And they'll say, yes or no. And if they say no, I can always say, well, this is an area we want to address before it does become a problem. If I maybe palpate T3, 4, and 5, I'll say this affects nerve supply to the lungs, and that can lead to a breathing problem. Do you have any asthma or bronchitis, or have you had any in the past? And they'll usually say yes or no. At T5 and 6, to the stomach, do you have digestive problems? T9, to the adrenals, for energy issues. T12 and L1, to the bladder and prostate. And of course, the lower back to lower GI. And as I go through, I'm actually going to palpate the spine, educating the patient, regardless if they have symptoms, body signals, or not. Why? Because what I'm doing is detecting and correcting subluxation. It's got nothing to do with their symptoms. It's got to do with the functionality and neurological integrity. Remember that. So symptoms may or may not show up. You can have high blood pressure, and yet you don't feel it, yet you're going to get it checked. You can have a tumor, and yet you don't feel it, yet you're going to get it removed. It's the same idea with subluxations. Remember that. You're detecting and correcting subluxations. That is the job of the chiropractor. Innate is supplying the symptoms. Remember that. There's a warning signal something is wrong. So you don't have to sit there, and you don't have to go over, you know, is it causing this? Well, you have no symptoms. Get out of my office. How many chiropractors do that? You have no more pain? Leave. That's devastating. That's so unbelievable and unacceptable in our profession. You can still have subluxations, nerve interference, reverse curves, and yet not feel a symptom. So who's negligent? I want to suggest if you don't have a normal curve and proper neurological integrity, you're actually negligent with your patients. Now, I'm saying that in strong words because how many of you have dismissed somebody or told them to come back when they have pain? So I'm going to preframe subluxations in the examination, even in the history. Subluxations can cause a dull pain or sharp shooting pain. How would you describe yours? Subluxations can cause referrals down the leg or down the arms, back of the head. Do you get any of that? Subluxations can affect internal organs and things like breathing difficulties or indigestion. Do you get any of that? And when they say yes, and I've palpated the spine, now the patients are putting cause and effect together. And when I do this, I'm also using a lot of body language. That concerns me. That's not normal. How could you live like that? Not, okay, yep, good. No, it's not good, and it's not okay. So you've got to be very careful of the language you use in that examination. So as I'm going to be going down in this history, I'm going to make a lot of faces. You know, I believe if you're Italian, you got an advantage to this because you use your hands and you can use a lot of body facial language. Oh, my gosh, that concerns me. How could you live like that? You're taking what drugs? Did you know stuff's killing you? So I'll put that in there because I want to maximize the impact of the subluxation. And if you're just nodding your head and, you know, going, because you're bored or tired, man, you're losing these people. So let's assume that you've got a very powerful subluxation-based exam. Where do you go from there? Well, you've got to make a move now to shift them into day two. And I want you to hear how I close this because I'm going to let them know that this is the end of the examination, and that's after I've taken some spinal images and a thermal scan. Never give your findings, but tell them we're going to wrap everything together in a report and book you in for your next appointment called the doctor's report. Now, this is the first half of your report's findings. I want you to write those keywords down. This is the first half of your report of findings, at which time I'll go through the second half, which is your individual one-on-one report of findings. Now, I'd like to say that the doctor's report is by invitation, but it's an absolute requirement. It's our office policy that everybody attends so you understand what's going on, the research and benefits behind what we do, how to save time and money, and how to get well and stay well. As well, we'll go over your individual findings at that time. It is also our office policy that your significant other attends so she understands your need for care, supports you in your care, and if she is remotely involved in any financial decision-making. Now, I'm going to have you go to the front with me, get changed, go to the front, and we're going to take you up to Sally, who's going to book you for that doctor's report. The sooner I can get you in, the sooner I can see you, and I do want to see you as soon as possible. So you can hear in that language the urgency. I want to see them as soon as possible. Why we need the spouse there. And again, the next appointment. Now, is it strong language? I would say let's lead our patients versus reading our patients. Because sometimes you're going to get people in there, you're going to think, oh, they're not going to want to come. Oh, they're going to be too busy. Oh, they can't bring their spouse. It doesn't matter. Because if you're not following these techniques, I'm going to suggest one thing. In 20 years of experience, and those of you who have been in practice for 10 years or more have already seen this, when you get sloppy in your language, when you are laissez-faire, people don't come back, or people drop out of care. And if you're looking at a patient visit average, a PVA that's 10 to 20, I'm going to suggest you're doing a deplorable job. So let's take tonight, and let's master these day one, day two procedures, and make sure that everybody's coming back for day two, which is your doctor's report. Now, here's a bonus I want to share with you. And this is something that, you know, I caught my exam doctor not doing. I said, you know, we got to get back on top of this, and that is the post-exam phone call. Now, this is critical when you start to see a lot of people not showing up for your doctor's report. This is the bridge between day one and day two. And if you've done a powerful subluxation-based exam and you've done a great checkout, as I'm going to describe in a minute, and they're not coming back to the doctor's report, I'm going to suggest that we're missing a powerful tool, which is a post-exam phone call. And that night, the exam doctor will call the patient and say, John, this is Dr. Lee. I just want to call and let you know that we did find the cause of your problem. It is due to subluxation. I'm glad that you're in our practice because I believe we're going to be able to help you out. I look forward, Dr. Mike's going to look forward to seeing you next day and going over your exam findings and x-rays with you. Now, what that does, it does two things. It creates urgency and it removes something called third-party poisoning. Many of you have had this experience before, where maybe that patient doesn't come back because they talked to their MD or spouse or coworker. You saw a chiropractor, why? Blah, 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 blah. And you know what? You've already lost that patient. Now, if you're noticing that, and if you're not getting them back to the day two, especially at least 95 to 100%, then you need to put that post-exam phone call in. Again, it sounds very simple. It's a quick call at that evening. This is Dr. Mike. I just want to let you know that we did find the cause of your problem, that it was due to subluxation. It's been there for quite a while. I'm glad we caught it in time. I'm glad you're in the practice. I look forward to going over all of your findings with you at your next examination. So, it's really that simple. Check out. Post-exam phone call. Now, your CA as well, she's got a very powerful checkout as well. And remember, that CA checkout is so important. If your CAs aren't nailing it, you got to role play. And role play, and role play. And my CAs will say something like this. Well, that's you know, $67 for today. How was your examination? Wonderful. Dr. Lee found subluxations. Great. We're going to book you for your next appointment. It's called the doctor's report. It is the first half of your report of findings, at which time Dr. Mike will be going over the second half of your findings with you. Now, on this registration ledger right here, we want you to sign your name and that of your significant other or friend you will be bringing. Now, as Dr. Mike explained to you, that this first half of the report of findings is mandatory, and mandatory for not only you to attend, but your significant other as well. It is the office policy. So they understand your need for care and supporting you in your care, and if they're remotely involved in any financial decision-making. We're also going to leave you this form, which is your insurance form. We need you to fill this out and make sure you bring this back to your next appointment so we can see how your insurance partakes in chiropractic. And one last thing, I'm going to leave you with this family gift certificate. This family gift certificate we give to all of our patients so their entire family members can get checked for the detection and record of subluxation. Now, this is good for the next 7 days. All of our patients take advantage of this. Which day is best for you? Monday to get your kids checked? Fantastic. All right, we look forward to seeing you at your next appointment on Wednesday at 6:30 for your doctor's report. I'll give you a reminder call the night before. So here my CA is. She's going through all of this checkout script, and she has to nail it. You know what's interesting? As I do A to Z training, I know the script because I help fine-tune it over the years. And if she's going to screw up on it, she's going to miss it, I'm going to call her to the carpet. And we'll review and role-play again until it is solid. number of years ago, I caught a CA that was not quite on par to where she was.
Yes, we had
all these people not coming back. I called a major timeout, and I went through my day one, day two procedures. And then we got to her, and she'd been with me 6 months. And she just totally flubbed it. I said, Bonnie, is that the script you used? And she goes, well, I thought I'd try something different. And I just about fell off my chair. I just about croaked. I just about had a heart attack. I said, you trying something different has produced this. And you know what? Sometimes I get a lot of flack from people who says, oh, it's script. You know what it is? It's just a poor excuse to be lazy. I'm going to share something with you. If you can solidify these scripts and make them your own, you are going to see the lid blow off your practice. You're going to see the lid blow off your practice. You're going to see people coming back, bring friends and family. Remember, people want order. They want comfort. They want to be told what to do. This is why most people give all their hard-earned money over to, you know, Investors Group or, you know, Nesbitt Burns or some financial company in order for them to make the money. They just say, here, take my money and go make money for me because I'm too lazy to do it. People want comfort. They want order. Remember that. So lead your patients. Tell them exactly what you're going to do. Let's move into maximizing your PVA. Now, when I was designing this talk, I went through all my procedures. I thought, okay, what are the three key tools? The three key tools that are critical for maximizing PVA. Because we get a lot of doctors whose PVAs are low. They're 20, 30, 40. And we really want to get you in the 60, 70, 80. I mean, that alone will double your practice. So I want you to write this down if you're listening with me. And we can open up for a little Q&A. And that first one is mastering the art of chronicity. That's mastering the art of chronicity. Now, you've heard me talk about that already, that these problems started as early as a child. That's why in the history we talk about, this is the reason why we check entire family members. This is another reason why we check kids, because subluxations can have a devastating effect, especially when you talk about children at your doctor's report. We also talk about five traumas. In your history, when you're talking about and capturing history, you want to ask them if they've had any motor vehicle accidents, home issues, work issues where they've had traumas to the body, sport injuries, injuries as a child, and then maybe even as the baby or the birth process. And when I'm asking about and talking about the birth process, I'm also pre-framing not only chronicity, but the reason to get kids checked. And the other area that you can maximize chronicity is in your doctor's report when you're talking about areas of decay. Now, I have a poster that shows phase 1, 2, and 3 in my exam room. So when I position that patient in front of the x-ray, and I'm showing them phase 1, 2, and 3, I'm also telling them what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a nice C-shaped curve, but your neck might become very straight. If it becomes very straight, this is known as a phase 1 of spinal decay. And when I talk about a phase 1 of spinal decay, I let them know that that's been there for about 10 to 15 years. And a phase 2, 20 to 25. I'll tell them what I suspect based on my experience and based on my knowledge. Now, when I talk about a phase 1, phase 2, guess what I'm doing? I'm pre-framing. And they also are curious to want to come back and find out what's going on. So remember, even in your doctor's report, when you're talking about chronicity, show phase 1, phase 2, phase 3, because they remembered from the exam, oh, I might be a phase 1, I might be a phase 2. And they're also hearing that this has been here for 10, 15, 20, 25. Knowing that, they also know it's going to take time to correct. Because in chronicity, I also talk about the brace analogy. I talk about the length of time for correction and using retainer. So now they're used to it. They're not thinking pain. They're thinking subluxation correction. So when I talk about chronicity and I talk about teeth taking at least 12 months, I'm also going to preframe that right afterwards that this can take the same amount of time for correcting the spine. And this is where you get people predictably to say yes, because now they understand that you're a correction specialist and that you're not a pain specialist. You're a correction specialist back towards wellness, so you're essentially a wellness specialist. Let me just sort of reframe that. The next area to increase your PVA is mastering the art of correction. Here's why. When you have a new patient come in, usually about the 12th to 15th adjustment, you're going to see a lot of these different factors disappear, from pain, range of motion, leg length, weight distribution, and palpatory findings. And what I mean by that is in most cases, when you go back and reassess patients, those parameters are gone. Even your orthopedic neurological tests are usually gone. So what have you got left to hang your hat on? Well, what you've got at this point is you have curve correction, and you have neurological integrity. That's why I do believe everybody should have x-ray and everybody should have a substation. So when I talk about need for correction back towards a state of wellness, I'm pre-framing this. And this is why we do progress and comparative exams every 12. So we have a benchmark. Beyond pain, beyond range of motion and leg length and weight distribution, I'm now looking at structural changes, and I'm looking at neurological changes. So we know that structure, curve, and function, nerve, go hand in hand. So this is where I'm going to reassess my patients, not based on how they're feeling, nor will I talk tick on symptoms. I'm going to talk about how their health is today. How's the home-based traction going? Have you made it up to 10 minutes? Let's see what your spine says. How's your health today? Are you ready to get the power turned on? So I'm using a lot of really cool ticks to actually want to generate and get my patients to understand that what I'm doing is really moving them back towards a state of wellness. So I think you got the ideas of that. And the last thing to maximize your PVA, your patient visit average, is mastering the art of prepay. Here's what I've discovered in 20 years of practice and 12 years of coaching, is that the recommendation that you make on average is your average PVA. So if you're making a recommendation of, say, a two-month program, a 24 adjustments, whatever it might be, guess what? Your PVA is probably 24. And if you're making recommendations of 88, a corrective care program, chances are you're getting 88. So this is where we say pre-frame everything. Let them know, even at your doctor's work, have a slide that shows how length of care, how care can actually take, you know, for bone and nerve tissue, 9 to 14 months. That's it, taking on average about 12. So I'm going to pre-frame correction and the need for getting them under care on a prepay program. Now, why prepay? Why not just pay per visit? You're going to discover that there's variables, or what I call ceilings to growth. And a lot of those are going to happen at front desk, where people hang out, where they have to pay, where they have to book their next appointment. And one of the things that I've discovered over the years is if I can get the money out of the way, if I get the time frame out of the way, if I get these people mapped, they're going to come in, they're happy as a bird in a bird bath. And they're going to be tweeting, saying, hey, good to see you today. I'm happy to be here. And what they're going to do, they're going to come back for their adjustment. They're going to get their adjustment, and they're going to get confirmed on the way out. No stopping in the front. They might get their hand out. And guess what? Your team is not in that clinical aspect of looking on the computer. They're with your patients. They're focused on the patients. They're educating the patients. And that's why this is so important. And once the money's out of the way, guess what? Patients are more concerned about their finances, about their health, than they are their finances. And that's why when you're in a paper visit, you're going to discover that between 10 and 15 adjustments, people stop. Why? Because they're feeling better. Why? Because you didn't bring subluxation from day one. So I have spoken for about 35 minutes. That's a lot for me to speak on a conference call. But there's a lot of issues on these day one, day two procedures. I know I've got a lot of people on this call tonight. I really want you to master these procedures. So who out there in chiropractic world, because we have both guests and we have clients, would like to ask me a question? Anything goes, particularly this topic. While you guys are formulating a question, we have a number of seminars coming up in the future. Just watch your schedule. We have Charlotte coming up for those on the American side that are going to want to join us in Charlotte. And then, of course, we have Toronto, the next seminar coming up, I believe, it's May or June. Don't quote me on that. I've got to check my own schedule. But who's got a question for Dr. Mike on day one, day two, on marketing, on anything? Hopefully this is clear as mud and you guys have got this down. No questions, no hellos. Going once, going twice. I want to thank everybody for being on this Power Talk. For those of you who want to listen to this again, it's going to be recorded and uploaded for the next 7 days. Until our next conference call, guys, keep practicing with passion. We'll talk to you all soon.